Astonishing Grace to the Chief of All Fools by Michael Criswell. Introduction. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. Dominion and awe belong to God. He establishes order in the heights of heaven. I choose the appointed time. Surely as I have planned it, so it will be, and as I have purposed it, so it will stand. Psalm 103:19, Job 25:2, Psalm 75:2, Isaiah 14:24. Indeed, our God and Father has shown His marvelous power and sovereignty in my life in ways that are beyond human comprehension. In my divorce story alone, He did something so amazing that even after hundreds of thousands of views, I've never heard from anyone who's ever heard anything like it. And yet, no one has heard the unbelievable, heaven-touching earth details of how I ended up 8,720 miles away in Hyderabad, India, on March 24th, 2016, to marry my wife, Persis. It is even more incredible than the 777-day divorce story. Standing in between this promise from God for Persis to be my wife were over 30 major obstacles, which neither of us had the resources or power to get around. Just like the divorce, Father did not permit me to ask anyone else for help or to make known my needs to anyone but Him. If this marriage was going to happen, it could only be by God's power, in response to our walking by faith into His promises. Without His guidance and help at every point, this was going to be impossible. It indeed became a marriage of miracles as God guided us moment by moment through it all, and we responded with risky faith. I am so excited about finally being able to tell this story. It's almost as if somewhere inside of me, there is a 14-year-old teenage girl who is screaming like she's on the front row at a Justin Bieber concert. I have discovered that God has been designing my life with such a mathematical precision that it can hardly be believed even after you hear it. Which is why I thank God Almighty that He moved me to record all of it digitally in audio, video, and pictures. Can you imagine discovering that the top three most significant events in your life were all completed in the exact same number of days? What if you then discovered that every single step in your top most significant life event were all done without exception, with back-to-back alternating sequences of time in increments of the two most popular numbers in the Bible. Like something out of a sci-fi movie, my personal story has so many mathematically precise events in it that it brings total death to the atheist's faith in a completely random universe. It will be easier for an atheist to believe he doesn't really exist than it will be for him to hear my story and then try to tell himself nothing happens on purpose or by design. I cannot wait to tell you this story, my friend. But please remember, this is a learning journey to better understand God's ways so you can walk in them in your own life, not just a showcase of God's incredible power. The story is written in two dramatically different parts. Part one is called The Carnal Christian Years, and part two is called The Spiritual Christian Years. They show the difference between a, quote, Christian life and ministry built by me versus a Christian life and ministry built by God. Part one represents the best results that I was able to generate in my own strength as I lived zealously for Christ, even with some supernatural supply from above. What I built was a life and ministry full of Ishmaels, or things built entirely from the will, plans, and efforts of man. The result was a life which appeared successful to the world, but spiritually, it was a fruitless life of bondage, slavery, and failure. A life that God was going to have to tear down before he could begin building up. Part two represents the results Father is now producing in my life after tearing down my building by his Spirit and grace as I live by faith from Christ in humble submission to his will. This is resulting in a new life and new ministry of Isaac's, or things birthed from Father's will, Father's promises, and Father's power. Now, a fruit which lasts is being produced. John 15:16. I am amazed and grateful to Father for him even allowing there to be a part two of my story, especially after how bad part one was. You will read about much suffering in both parts. In part one, I'm suffering for doing wrong or making foolish decisions. In part two, I'm still suffering and sometimes even more, but now I am suffering for doing good, partaking in the death, persecutions, and sufferings of Christ. I get no rewards for the suffering I faced in the first half of my life, but Father commends the suffering I now participate in as I obey Christ. 1 Peter 2:20-21. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Someone once told me that my life story was helping the Word of God to become flesh for them. It was like putting clothes on naked truth and making it real to them. Indeed, there is much to be gleaned from the details of testimonies like this about how God works and thinks, and about how God does not work and does not think. My desire is that those who have been given eyes to see will recognize some of their own mistakes or some of God's dealings with me and their own journey. And afterwards, by his grace, may they make the necessary corrections towards becoming a true spiritual man or woman of God. I pray you receive new spiritual wisdom and understanding from the spoils of war I have won on this journey. My prayer is that God's clear sovereign signature and powerful providence in this story will encourage many who are seeking fullness in him as they listen more intently to my pleadings for them to give all in absolute surrender to Christ. However, I am also praying that these stories shake up the false ground or unbelief some readers may be currently standing on. There are the atheists who say I'm having a God delusion. Seventh-day Adventists who believe I'm hellbound because I do not honor the Sabbath. Catholics who believe I cannot be saved because I do not submit to the authority of the Pope. Mormons who are convinced I'm missing out on Christ's new revelation to America. The, quote, Earth is flat group who claims the devil has deceived me with a globe. Charismatics who think I'm still not filled with the Spirit because I don't speak in tongues. Baptist ministers who think I'm under God's curse because I not only don't tithe, but I teach against it. The, quote, church man who thinks I'm deceived because I don't belong to a building he calls, quote, church. Torah observant, quote, Christians who wish to inform me that if I really want to please God, I must abstain from certain unclean foods, observe certain special feasts and days, and divorce Persis because I'm living every single day in adultery. There are many more who have accused me of seeking honor for myself, being an antichrist, selling the gospel, abandoning my children, doing witchcraft, being a heretic, leading others astray, twisting the word of God for my own benefit, or being unchristlike. To borrow an Indian saying from my wife Persis, this story, for many of those people who have the courage to read it, is going to be a very hard bone to swallow. May there be much hard swallowing in the name of Jesus, and may there be much truth and life which result. Luke 7:33-35. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children or actions. Matthew 12:33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Disclaimer. If you have listened to many of my messages, you know how transparently I have shared my worst sins and failures against God. In order to tell this part of my story, it requires that I expose some of the evil and sins God permitted others to commit against me, especially my ex-wife. However, some Christians are sensitive to this and seem to believe all exposure of sin or evil is slander or unloving. I don't want anyone to stumble over this. So please let me show the biblical precedent for doing so, and let me assure you that by the end of the story, you will rest confident I have done all of this in submission to His will. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will. The Bible itself, penned by men as moved by the Spirit of God, openly reveals the evils committed by and against some of God's most notable servants. We know the evil committed against Joseph by his brothers, the hatred and oppression of Pharaoh to the Israelites and Moses, Miriam's dishonoring of Moses, the persecution of Isaac by Ishmael, the mocking and ridiculing of Nehemiah by Sanballat, the torments from King Saul against David, David's betrayal of Uriah and Bathsheba, Delilah's betrayal of Samson, Haman's betrayal of Mordecai, Judas' betrayal of Jesus, Peter's denial of Jesus and his hypocrisy against the Gentiles and Paul, the Jews' stoning of Stephen, Alexander the metalworker's harm of Paul. Also, we know of the malicious gossiping Diotrephes was doing against the Apostle John in 3 John, and that the Apostle was going to expose him by telling the whole church. In God's time, and by His will, there is good in exposing sin, hypocrisy, and the evil committed by others. Our victory over the evils committed against us comforts others who are still suffering. This produces perseverance in the saints, which results in glory to God. I am not able to bring God the full glory He deserves in my life for the light He gave me until I tell how dark the darkness was from which He saved me. There is a big difference between exposing the sin of a repentant sinner or someone who stumbled into sin versus exposing the sin of the unrepentant, or the hypocrisy of the self-righteous. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells us to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather to expose them, because everything exposed by the light becomes visible. In Matthew 18, Jesus even told us to publicly tell the church about our brother or sister who has sinned against us if they would not listen to us or other witnesses. He also taught there is nothing hidden that will not be brought out into the open, Luke 8:17. And Paul taught Timothy to rebuke leaders who sinned publicly so that others may take warning, 1 Timothy 5:20. I've been accused of being unchristlike for doing this. Jesus Christ was not being unchristlike when he spoke the harshest public rebukes ever heard to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Paul was not being unchristlike when he confronted Peter's hypocrisy publicly, or when he wrote a letter about it, making a record of it for thousands of years and millions of people to read about it in Galatians 2:11-13. Martin Luther was not being unchristlike when he publicly exposed the evil hypocrisy of named leaders in the Roman Catholic Church all the way up to and including the Pope. John Bunyan was not being unchristlike when he published the names, statements, and false accusations of the justices and others who stood against him in court to sentence him to jail for not submitting to the Church of England. Madame Guillot was not being unchristlike when she revealed in her biography the incessant and ruthless antagonism of her mother-in-law and their servants, or when she exposed the names of the church leaders which so horribly slandered and persecuted her and then threw her into jail. Nor am I being unchristlike when I expose the evil committed against me by others, when I began desiring to truly give up this world and follow hard after Christ. My motive is not to try to pay back or punish anyone, but rather to expose the discipline God brought into my life through them. I leave all the correction and justice to God. In fact, where it seemed appropriate to do so, I have concealed identities by leaving off last names or using a fictitious name, such as the name Jennifer, for my ex-wife. Also, none of the sins against me were worse than my own sins against God in this story, where I was calling myself a Christian for 19 years and denying Him by my actions. The sins committed against me were either caused by or allowed by God because of the greater sins I had committed. The sins of others against me were being used of God to break me, to discipline me, to save me, and to strengthen me. Our real enemy is not the people who do the evil to us, but as A.W. Tozer taught, our real first enemy is ourself. You will see in this story, once I got my spiritual problem with God taken care of, my other battles were taken care of. When we submit to Father and get our hearts right before Him, the devil can no longer do any lasting harm. James 4:6-7, 1 John 5:18. There are no sins in this story which God could not or would not forgive upon true confession and repentance through Jesus Christ. I hold no unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone, and I thank God for using them to help me to get right with Him. Like John Bunyan desired to do with his life, I too desire to share the spiritual plunder which I have taken in these battles and share it here for the repair and building up of the body of Christ, His temple, 1 Chronicles 26:27. Please do not imitate my faith in doing this, unless you have received clear guidance and direction from the Lord, and unless you have been walking as a spiritually mature Christian for some time. Anything not done in faith or with pure motives is sin. And if you have any doubts about doing so, you will be condemning yourself, as Paul taught in Romans 14:23. God gave me the promise of Isaiah 14:4 years ago, that I indeed would one day take up this taunt against my oppressor. How the oppressor has come to an end. How his fury has ended. Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Matthew 10:26-27. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops.